Eagles Entertainment.
With the 13th pick in the 2022 NFL Draft, the Philadelphia Eagles select...
You're listening to the Journey to the Draft podcast.
Welcome to the Journey of the Draft podcast, presented by LifeBrand. I'm your host, Fran Duffy. The Senior Bowl, the week of practice, is in the books, and we are going to touch on that here with Dane Brugler at the top of the show, Mr. Relevant. We're going to get into who stood out for Dane over the course of six practices total between both teams. So we'll get into the standout players, the most improved players, everything you can imagine from down in Mobile, Alabama. We're going to cover a boatload of prospects here with Dane in this episode. We've got a couple of questions as well, including an Eagles only mock draft to round this out over in our draft mailbag. And if you want to be featured in our draft mailbag, the best way to do it is to go over to Apple Podcasts or Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you listen to the show. Leave us a review, leave us a rating. If you leave a question there, a mock draft, a question about a prospect, whatever it is, we'll get to it here on an upcoming episode. That said, let's get to Mr. Relevant with Dane Brugler.
It's time for Mr. Relevant.
Joining us live from Mobile, Alabama for this week's Mr. Relevant, our friend Dane Brugler from The Athletic. You can follow him on Twitter at DP Brugler. I'm sure if you're listening to this podcast, you already do so. Dane, your Senior Bowl week has ended. I trust that it was a good trip.
Absolutely. I've been coming down here for 12 years now, and the first day was the hottest it's ever been during a practice. And so, I got a good amount of sun on one side of my face, at least. And so that was fun throughout the week. But, it was, what we've come to expect from the Senior Bowl, productive week. It's such a great opportunity for these guys and for us to learn more about them, more evidence. It was a productive week.
I certainly had a little bit of FOMO seeing all the clips go across my timeline, but obviously missing this year's event for a good reason. But with that in mind, I want to pick your brain on some of your big standouts. I'm going to go through all the film next week, but with your eyes down there on the ground, we'll start on the national team offensively. Overall, practice player of the week from that side of the football.
I'm going to give it to Jaden Reed, nice. The Michigan State wide receiver. And, I thought it was a crowded group here that I would not blame you if you went with a couple other names here. But for me, Reed just stood out consistently with his speed, and not just his speed, but his ability to uncover with just using different ways. I mean, he's able to use subtle hesitation. He's able to use body fakes. He's able to just really control his throttle at the top of routes, mid route, and that just really throws corners off balance. So, he had me going back to the tape last night, and it's just kind of a reminder how lifeless the Michigan State offense was this year. But you go back to 2021 when the Michigan State offense was rolling with Kenneth Walker, and that's where you see Jaden Reed really be explosive when he's got a chance to make plays downfield. And I was really impressed with his hand strength for a guy that's 5'11", 191 pounds, not the biggest guy. He plays really well through contact, really well in contested situations. So it's not just pure speed with Reed. He has a lot more working in his favor.
Yeah, he was a guy I did over the summer and certainly has that ability to take the top off, but and has some game-breaking ability. He's got some special teams ability. I believe he was the Big Ten Special Teams Player of the Year as a junior in 2021, and so carrying that forward into this year to see some of the polish we saw from him, I think is a really good sign for his development, considering some of the tools he's got at his disposal. How about on the defensive side of the ball for the national team?
I thought this would be a slam dunk, but there were a few other players that really showed up later in the week. But I'm still going to go with Keanu Benton. He was just consistently dominant each day.
Wisconsin nose tackle, for those who don't know, Wisconsin
right,
nose tackle,
yep.
Keanu Benton.
6'4", 312, was a nose tackle in that Wisconsin three-man front. So we knew he could stop the run, but when we talk about him, it was always pass rush potential, and we thought he had it. But being able to see him in one-on-ones during team drills, and you see the quickness, you see the body control for a guy that size, really, really impressive. So he was in the second round of my mock draft a few weeks ago, and he's only helped himself. So I think he'll continue to climb throughout the process.
I forget if I've given you my comp on him. When I watched him early in the fall. He reminded me a lot of Austin Johnson coming out of Penn State. And Johnson, if I remember right, was the 30th pick to Tennessee. And I think he's got that kind of potential. It wouldn't shock me, especially with you saying he had a great week of practice, that he could climb into that area. We'll see how he tests in a couple weeks now, which is crazy to think the combine is that close. But Keanu Benton, good to hear that he had a strong week down there in Mobile. Let's go to the other side, the American team. Offensively, practice player of the week in your mind?
For this one, I'm going to go with Osiris Torrence.
Nice.
And I think you can make an easy argument. He was the best player down here in Mobile.
Wow.
He's got a good chance to be the first Senior Bowl player drafted. He just, you know, when you watch him on the Florida tape, you see that power, you see the ability just to dominate the man in front of him. And he did that a lot down here. He uses those massive mitts. It's over 11-inch hands to latch, drive, spring runs. He can seal. He can cut off linebackers. I thought, you know, aside from – because we know he's really good in the run game stuff. But it had been pass pro and space. That's where he really impressed down here. Really controlled, coordinated. And it was also good to see him switch between left guard and right guard, because he was primarily a right guard only at Florida, and then the past few years at Louisiana. So seeing him at left guard was just for, you know, to check the box and say he could play either guard spot. Looked very comfortable regardless of where they put him.
You know, my concern with him is he a little too scheme specific? And that's I worry about guys like that in terms of like ending up in first round mocks, because I think, all right, well, you need the right scheme. But I think it's good to hear that he had that strong week of practice, because that might have quelled some of that. And we are going to get into that topic here in a little bit. Defensively on the American squad, who stood out?
No doubt about it. Darius Rush, South Carolina corner. This guy is really, really impressive in a lot of different ways. During the week of practice, he was running routes for receivers. I don't know if he was doing extra studying or if he had – I don't know. It's like he knew what was coming.
That showed up in South Carolina. I thought he did that really well there.
Yeah, yeah. And not only did he – you know, was he able to do that, mirror routes and, you know, really kind of sync and able to match whatever the receiver was doing at the top of routes. But he got his hands on the football. No other defensive back here in Mobile touched the football more than Darius Rush.
Okay.
And it's not just what he did on the field, but the weigh-ins, 6'2", 196 pounds, 32 and three-quarter inch arms, 79 three-quarter inch wingspan, which was, for comparison purposes, that's longer than six offensive linemen that are down here. So this guy is long. He's fast. He had the fastest. They clocked him. Zebra Technologies, they've been doing this for 5 years now, where they put the radar gun on all these guys during practice. He had the fastest at 21.65 miles per hour down here. Over the last 5 years, only two defensive backs have been faster. Tariq Woolen and Joshua Williams, both last year.
Pretty good.
So this, not only did he show up on the field in terms of impact, but you know, the size, the measurements, the speed, you know, that those are the things that also showed up in the metrics. And I thought, you know, there's some really good corners down here. I thought Iowa's Riley Moss was good, Stanford's Caillou Blue Kelly, Tyrick Stevenson at Miami, Julius Brents, Kansas State. But for me, Darius Rush was the guy that consistently stood out among the rest.
And I was glad to hear you talk about the speed, too, because honestly, that was my concern watching him on film, was the long speed. And so to hear that he showed up well from a metric standpoint that way is a really good sign for him moving forward. Because if you check that box at that size with his route instincts, this guy's going to go a lot higher than people think. Let's go back to the national team. A one-play takeaway from the week. What's one that's going to stick with you as you're on your flight back later today?
It was one of the final reps of the Thursday's practice and team drills, end zone drills, or red zone drills. Jay Kaner threw a beautiful back shoulder to Payne Durham, the Purdue tight end, a 25-yard touchdown. I mean, great play by Payne to, you know, bring that in, finish the catch. Then he handed it off to Cody Mock, who gave a nice little spike to celebrate the touchdown. But it was an inconsistent week from all six quarterbacks. But to see Jay Kaner get better throughout the week, especially in that final practice, have that throw, I thought that really is the type of thing that will stick with people. So Jay Kaner, Fresno State, I thought that pass was the one that stuck with me more than others from that national team.
It was interesting following from afar, just the discussion around the quarterback group down there in Mobile. Certainly not up to snuff from what we've come to expect in mm-hmm. years past at that position. How about on the other side, the American team, a one-play takeaway from the week of practice?
There was a screen pass to Tyjae Spears, a Tulane running back, and it really showed two things. First, Spears, how dynamic he is, his vision and his cutting skills. He was outstanding all week. I thought he was clearly the top back. And I say that with all due respect to Eric Gray from Oklahoma, who I thought was also very, very good. But it was really impressive to watch Spears out there. He had numerous plays that will make you kind of go back and say, okay, yeah, this guy's got it.
Yeah.
Might just come down to medicals for him, at the combine. But, also on that play, John Michael Schmitz, a Minnesota center, he showed off his athleticism. He got out in front, out in space. He took Pitt linebacker Savasie Dennis for a ride and ended with him burying the linebacker to the ground. So, two of the biggest winners from this week, Spears and Schmitz, really showed off that on that play.
And Spears, a lot of love for him, it seems, over the course of the week. So I'm excited to go back and watch the tape on him. You mentioned the vision in space. That was certainly the number one thing that showed up for me when doing his film from this past season. Let's go now. Most improved player. I know you and I typically try and track this over the course of the week. Is, all right, who's a guy that came out on Tuesday? Maybe it was a little big for him or some opening day jitters, but got better throughout the course of the week and finished off with an exclamation point on Thursday. Who would fit that bill for you from the national squad?
I'm going to give it to Darnell Wright, the Tennessee tackle, who I thought really struggled early on. He was trying way too hard to establish his dominance. And you know, he's such an aggressive player. We know that.
Yeah.
And it looked like he was trying to just show that off and say, like, look, hey, look how violent I am as a player. And you know, that mindset also meant sacrificing some of the techniques that you know, led to some losses. And you know, really, that's what I think teams wanted to see from him. We know he's an aggressive player. We know he's physical. We know he's violent. But I thought he got better throughout the week. He settled down. I thought it was an inconsistent week from all the tackles down here. But Wright, I thought, was the best of the group. And his progression each day, I think, is a big reason why.
How about on the American team? Most improved player for the week of practice?
You know what? I think Darnell Wright was my mayor for the American team.
Got it. Okay.
So national team, you know, we just got done talking about Hayner. I'm going to give it to him, though. I thought the first practice, the bar was set pretty low.
Yeah.
Fumbling snaps, missing his targets. But second and third practices, and look, that's not very surprising, right? This is a guy that the competitive temperament, the you know, that gamer mentality that he has, I wasn't sure if we would see it in a practice setting like this, because, you know, it's just once the game starts, that's where it really, the competitive juices really show for him. But I thought where it showed up was his ability to just not let things snowball. He got better throughout the week. Second and third practices, he showed why he's my top-ranked quarterback here at the Senior Bowl coming in. And, you know, I usually give those quarterbacks a grace day as they get comfortable for new receivers, new terminology. And so for Hayner, I thought it was a week of getting better. And then I also want to mention Cody Mock here, who – again, another guy where the bar was set pretty low. And I'm not going to kill him for that. You know, the North Dakota State left tackle moved inside. He's playing guard. He's played center. Two positions he's never really played before. So I give him a ton of credit for going out, competing, telling the coaches, I'll do whatever you need me to do, trying something new. It was clear just, you know, how new of a position it was for him. But he got better throughout the week. You saw him with every rep. He grew more confident with those new positions. And so even though, you know, a big reason why – I'm mentioning him for this category is because the bar was set so low because he struggled so much in that first practice. Getting better at, you know, and learning, that's what you want to see from you know, throughout this week, is that progression, especially for a guy changing positions and you know, not letting some of those early mistakes really cloud his vision for the rest of the week. So, you know, Cody Mock, definitely want to mention him here.
Especially him getting all the reps at guard and center. I mean, you talked about it a couple of weeks ago when you did your position rankings. You had him on with your interior guys. We talked about how he was viewed, and you mentioned, yeah, I think most people are going to view him as more of an interior player, and that's exactly how he was used in Mobile.
I had to guess, I would say it was probably 70% of his snaps. So 60% of his snaps came at guard, 30% at center, and then 10 at tackle. So, you know, pretty clear. Teams wanted to see him on the interior, and that's what they got here.
It's good to see that he got better throughout the week. It's always a good sign. Mm-hmm. All right, Chicken Soup Award. All right, this is a player. Usually you and I, we go down to Mobile, and there are some players that we have some questions about, right? We want to see, is it a weight issue? Is it a speed issue? Is it ball skills? Whatever the issue is. But you see some guys that kind of quell those concerns and say, hey, you know what? I've got this, and they put those concerns to rest. Who did that for you on the national team?
First, kudos for your creativity. Love the Chicken Soup Award. That's great. Stanford's Michael Wilson, the wide receiver,
love it.
He has missed more games than he has played the last 3 years due to injury. So I was curious, just how would he look in person? And I think he was arguably the best wide receiver this week. If I didn't pick Jaden Reed as the top receiver, I would have gone with Michael Wilson. You love his size. He's 6'2", 216 pounds. But he has the quickness of a smaller player, which really helps him uncover at the top of routes. He finishes through contact really well. And then, look, obviously the medicals at the combine are going to be so important, but he moves really well, and it's going to be a nice addition to an NFL wide receiver room because of what he can do on offense and then what he also brings on special teams. So Michael Wilson, definitely a big winner from what he did this week.
I was late to his film just because with the injuries, I kind of wanted to wait for the late season stuff to get in just so I could see him as healthy as possible. And, dude, I really liked his tape. He could route people up. He's got size. He's a great blocker. I think he's a professional receiver all the way. Obviously, the medicals will have something to do with it. And I'm glad to hear that he moved as well as he did, too, because I didn't think that was like a particular strength of his game. I didn't watch him saying, oh, wow, this kid's got dynamic qualities, but he's a pro. He does a lot of the little things really, really well. I really liked Michael Wilson's film.
Talking to scouts about his interviews, they said he killed it. I mean, he was like awesome. The intangibles. And I mean, maybe cliche to expect that from a Stanford guy,
right?
But that's what he brought. And one other guy I wanted to mention from the national team, Bowling Green's Carl Brooks, who was an edge player in college, but he's 300 pounds, and so they moved him inside here at the Senior Bowl, and I thought he did a nice job. That was the big question, because he's standing up when you watch him on film at Bowling Green, but how would he do? Would he be able to win quickly on the inside? And I thought he did that. He's a little sawed off, doesn't have much length to him, but his hands are so quick, so violent that he can win early. So, Brooks is a good player and someone that I was really happy that we got a chance to see here.
Chicken Soup Award for the American squad.
So I've been talking about Shepard's Tyson Bagent all season. The most productive quarterback in terms of touchdown passes in NCAA history. Just a great story with his dad being a professional arm wrestler and just his journey to get to this point. But coming into this week, he was still just a Division II quarterback.
Yep, right.
Major questions about how he would stack up versus top-level athletes. And he looked like he belonged this week. And that's the most important thing. It's far from a perfect player. He needs to get better and just seeing things quicker and things like that. But for a guy that's never seen Division I competition or played against it, he looked like he was not out of place here. And so he didn't wilt under pressure. He didn't allow the moment to overwhelm him. He threw the ball really well. So I'll be surprised if he's not drafted with the way that things went this week for him.
I thought you were going to like completely change it because you said Shepherd, and I said, oh, well, that's another comfort food is Shepherd pie. I thought that's where you were going there, but Tyson Bagent.
I'm not as creative as you.
Let's go to matchups you're most excited to see here this weekend. Obviously, the game on Saturday, I believe 2:30 Eastern. I got to check exactly on the time. I always get jacked up there from the Eastern to Central. National team offense against the American defense. What's a battle you're excited to see based off practice?
Okay, I got to try to keep this straight here, but
yes.
American, national, it's really mixed up. But I think, so I'm really excited to see Keon White, the Georgia Tech defensive player against – well, I guess that's – okay, I'm mixing it up because that's technically a national defensive player. But I'm still going to go with it. So Keon White, the Georgia Tech edge rusher – for Syracuse tackle Matthew Bergeron. I think that's going to be a really interesting match. I mean, White is such a freaky guy. Not the most polished player, but he's a guy that can really get after you. Bergeron, better run blocker than pass protector.
Yep.
But so how does he handle himself versus a guy like White? And then I want to see the Northwestern defensive tackle, Adibare.
Nice.
Something like that.
Yep.
Northwestern defensive tackle. He was outstanding this week. If I didn't go with Benton, I would have went with Adibare, especially with the way he uses that natural leverage, that power that he has. I want to see him go up against Osiris Torrance, who has just been a consistent force this week, using his power. How will that match up with, you know, two power guys? So that'll be fun to watch. Torrance, he'll be a step up from the guards that Barrier faced during practice this week. So and on the other side, I want to see American running backs, really the entire running back group. I thought that you look at the American running backs, it might be the best pure position group here in Mobile. You're talking about Tyjae Spears, Eric Gray, Kenny McIntosh, Chris Rodriguez. So that's an impressive group. And yeah, I'm eager to see what they do against the national linebackers. Ivan Pace, he's a menace downhill from Cincinnati. I thought he's had a nice week. DeMarvion Overshown from Texas has flashed consistently because of his impressive athleticism. And then Dejon Henley, who, former wide receiver at Nevada. He's been an ascending player ever since he moved to linebacker a few years ago. He had a great week. He covered really well during practice. He's a fluid athlete. You see cover instincts. I'll be looking to see if he continue that with game reps against these the American running backs, which probably a little more dynamic than what Henley saw during practice from the national group.
One of my things that I miss most of not being down there was our yearly dinner. And I know that you are a big fan of chicken nuggets. And so I thought, all right, your favorite nugget that you learned from the week about one of the players down there in Mobile.
So, like I mentioned, this is the fifth year that Zebra Technology has been tracking on-field speed for Senior Bowl practices. And for the first time in those 5 years, we had a tight end crack 20 miles per hour. Oregon State's Luke Musgrave, he just got over 20.05 miles per hour, which is a ridiculous time for a guy that's 255 pounds. Throughout the course of this entire week, only 9 players here got over 20 miles per hour. Guys you would expect: Jaden Reed, Tank Dell, Darius Rush. He was the fastest, 21.65. But Musgrave, at 255 pounds, to reach that 20 mile per hour mark, that's probably going to translate somewhere in the mid 4.5s. In the 40-yard dash. So Musgrave, it was a little up and down for him this week. Had a few more drops than you wanted to see. You could tell this is his first real live setting for him since his knee injury in September. So there were some rust that he had to knock off. But man, you see why he's considered a potential first-round pick and a contender to be the first tight end drafted. It's just hard to find guys this size with that speed. And also what he brings as a blocker. So, it's just really interesting when you get those, those metrics in terms of speed on these players in live game action. Musgrave definitely has it.
It's great to hear from his standpoint, especially from a medical end of it as well, just making sure that he was healthy and getting through the course of the week of practice. Dane, my last question for you, maybe the most important, your favorite meal that you had during your stay. I know you were down there for like a full week.
Yeah. And I don't know if you've heard of these places. So Buffalo Wild Wings was good. Chipotle, or maybe some people say Chipotle. That was also pretty good. When you came up with this question, I bet you were probably thinking I'd say barbecue or seafood.
Yeah.
But, and we've had some pretty good seafood meals down here. For this trip, I had a great experience at Mellow Mushroom, which I think is a chain. I don't know. I've never heard of it before, though.
Okay.
But great pizza. Their signature wings were really, really good. They got like a mix of garlic and a little bit of heat. I'm a sucker for garlic wings, and so my meal at Mellow Mushroom was outstanding, and I didn't expect to say that coming in, but it was a good experience.
Is that close to campus, close to downtown? What's the location? I've never heard of that one.
Yeah, it's close to campus because I usually since they moved from Ladd Peebles to the South Alabama campus, I stay closer to campus. It's just easier. And then if I need to go downtown, I can do that. But it's right across the street from my hotel. And so, I thought I'd check this out. And I'm glad I did because it's a really good spot, kind of low key. But definitely next year, unless the Eagles repeat and make it back to the big game, we'll have to check it out.
I love it. Well, Dane, really appreciate you joining us. Thanks for being our eyes and ears down there in Mobile over the course of a week of practice. And we'll talk to you, if not next week, the week after. We'll give you a week break here on the Journey of the Draft podcast presented by LifeBrand.
All right. Can't wait. Thanks. Go Eagles.
Now it's time to hear from you, the fans, in the draft mailbag.
Great stuff there from Dane. Let's now get to our two questions. And first one comes from Kevin, who left a 5-star review saying, hello, longtime listener, first time commenter, love the podcast and the insight the team provides. Would it be possible to add a transcript of the mock drafts broken down in each episode in the episode description? Just a 1-32 with player names for each pick would be very helpful. Thank you. So Kevin, that's a good idea. We might start doing that there in the episode description. We'll see. I'll talk with our social people and see if we can't make that happen. If that would make sense from an SEO standpoint to make that happen. I like that. So that's a good idea there from Kevin. And then Matty G has an Eagles-only mock draft. And again, the best way, if you want to get your mock draft featured on the show, send it over on Apple Podcasts. So we'll put it in there and we'll break it down. Did a mock draft over at Pro Football Network. So did make a trade. Gave up the 31st pick and 198 for the Dolphins, 51, 165, and a second rounder next year. So ultimately, six picks here in this mock draft, including a second round next year, which has to be factored into the equation. Joey Porter Jr., the corner from Penn State, he is the 10th overall pick. He's a really long player. I think if you want to make like a physical comparison, he's built like a James Bradbury type. So if you're taking him at number 10, you're hoping he can kind of fill that role for James Bradbury, obviously a free agent. We'll see if he's able to be bought back here to Philadelphia. Obviously, that would change the scope of that pick. The two second-round picks here in this mock draft, Felix Anadike Uzomah, who is an undersized pass rusher from Kansas State, has been productive the last 2 years there for the Wild Cats, and I do think that valuation is fine in terms of what he can be as a second round pick. He gives you a little bit of juice there off the edge. And then the mammoth offensive tackle from Ohio State, DeJuan Jones, right tackle, made waves down in Mobile because of his size. I mean, he's got an outstanding wingspan. He is gigantic, built like Jordan Mailata, doesn't move quite like Jordan, but moves plenty good enough for a guy that big. And it is kind of similar to a player the Eagles are going to see this week in Orlando Brown Jr. for the Kansas City Chiefs. You go to the third round, Mazi Smith, an underclassman, nose tackle there for the University of Michigan. The pass rush production wasn't always there, but he's got a quick first step and can defend the run. So an interesting player there in the third round. And then two day three selections here. Charlie Jones, who is a undersized, kind of run and chase, run and hit linebacker from Georgia Tech. He was just out in Las Vegas for the Shrine Bowl. And then Tyke Smith, a versatile defensive back who I think, you know, he's got some nickel safety versatility. So I do like the direction here, Matty. I think that you factor in a number of positions. You checked a lot of boxes there. I like a number of these selections. So really appreciate the 5-star review. Appreciate the mock draft. And again, if you want to get your mock draft featured, head on over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Leave us a review. Leave us the mock draft. We'll get to it here in an upcoming show. Thanks to Dane. We'll have Ben back next week here on the Journey of the Draft podcast. We're going to keep getting you ready. Combine, just a couple of weeks away. We're going to hit on it here on the Journey of the Draft podcast presented by LifeBrand.